Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you're tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggly.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Trying to come up with a master plan. Tired of being a worker, man. Gotta get up super early, man. Go and get it, go and chase that bag. Play the street too much, but I know them bitches will take your face. Object of the game is to private, take losses, make it back. What you do when you take a hard loss, but you can't make it back. Losing all hope and you feel it, it ain't no shaking back. Pride too big to get a job, cause it ain't enough to break your back. Sometimes you gotta sacrifice, sometimes you gotta pay that price. No motivation to wake up in the morning, this ain't the way of life. But you gotta stay afloat, at least it's better than being broke. But you still gotta think and strategize, cause you know you want more. Long as you got money on your mind, don't get sidetracked by a hoe. Tryna come up with a master plan. Tired of being a worker, man. Gotta get up super early, man. Go and get it, go and chase that bag. Play the street too much, but I know them bitches will take your face. Object of the game is to private, take losses, make it back. Tryna come up with a master plan. Tired of being a worker, man. Gotta get up super early, man. Go and get it, go and chase that bag. Play the street too much, but I know them bitches will take your face. Object of the game is to private, take losses, make it back. They tell you get a job, you making another nigga rich. Why you still struggling? No wonder to throw it out up out the pitch. Might not think about it like that. Better get some common sense. Don't settle. You gotta move better if you trying to get rich. The street get wicked. Gotta watch for dicks and the niggas who snitch. All the niggas who hate your guts cause they see you doing your shit. They out the way. I ain't in nobody else mix. And I ain't conversing about nothing but money. Cause if it don't make money, it ain't making sense. I was raised up in the air where you fuck up, you take your lick. And it's better to break a bun if you sense some snake shit. No more favors, no more love. Pal, like I'm my heart gated in. Too smart to let pussy be the real. Don't need more than that to baby. Tryna come up with a master plan. Tired of being a worker, man. Gotta get up super early, man. Go and get it, go and chase that bag. Play the street too much, but I know them bitches will take your face. Object of the game is to private, take losses, make it back. Tryna come up with a master plan. Tired of being a worker, man. Gotta get up super early, man. Go and get it, go and chase that bag. Play the street too much, but I know them bitches will take your face. Object of the game is to private, take losses, make it back.
Gotta watch nigga that man tell on me. I ain't tryna get no feeling to ease.
Damn, P-Glo.
you did
that. If Wayne ain't record or mix my shit,
you know I stand on
it.
Gotta watch niggas, let me tell them, man. I ain't tryna get no feeling, no feeling. Can't let nobody get the best of me. Get on my knees, Lord, and I'm begging, please. Continue to protect and cover me. I'm one of a kind, ain't no other me. I've been a big dog, can't they bother me? On your best day, you cannot fuck with me. Can't perpetrate, be so fake to me. A lot of you niggas be make-believe. Try the street, never been in the street. See, wrong my way, yeah, we play for keeps. Bloody line, yeah, we throw them three. Face up, yeah, they cut me deep. Yeah, they call me out, cause it's up with me. Bitch, you doubting me, I'ma make you believe. Make you be flat and they full of greed. Try to get you knocked off before you succeed. Life full of broken promises, shattered dreams. Every day I wake up, get to the green. Cash food, everything around me. Get it in, same clothes on for a week. Move some teeth, you better think. Life could be gone fast as you blink. Not at ease, cause I'm full of drink. Body, body like a masterpiece. Refuse to be another cash tea. I know it's some fuck niggas after me. I guess that shit come with the street. Don't know why these niggas won't get at me. Maybe it's cause they know I'ma eat. Born on the truck, fit like a G. If you ain't no top, then you underneath. Broke, they turn me into a beast. Put a B in me to be family. Me on my ass, you'll never see. Felicity, I get it on my feet. Got that I ain't who wanna creep. Speak right on my name when you mention me. Never been a lame, ain't no tipping me. Niggas tall laws just to make a scene. They screaming from hell from the police. But I'll say twice if you know me. I been about that ass, you gotta show me. Try to change it back to the old me. So too strong, you might OD. When dicks for the ones won't let them in. When turned on, we got promethazine. Gotta watch niggas, they may tell on me. I ain't tryna kill no feeling, no feeling. Can't let nobody get the best of me. Get on my knees, Lord, and I'm begging, please. Continue to protect and cover me. I'm one of a kind, ain't no other me. I've been a big dog, can't let brother me. On your best day, you cannot fuck with me. Can't perpetrate, be so fake to me. A lot of you niggas be make-believe. Talk the street, never been in the street. See, wrong my way, yeah, we play for keys. Bloody line, yeah, we throw them threes. Face up, yeah, they cut me deep. Yeah, they call me out, cause it's up with me. If you doubt me, I'ma make you believe. Make you believe.
All right. That was my man, Jay the Goat. And we are now tuned in at episode 514 of Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric Media Assassin. And this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Desi's Boutique, Core Financial, Fleetwood and the Cock Pickers, Screwball Radio. I got my host, T-Max, with the facts in the building. What's good, my brother?
What's going on, man? Peace and God bless to the universe, to all of our listeners all over, and it's another fantastic Friday. OTC up in the building. Shout out to our co-host, our same man, Lady Chinchilla, and we are live and direct for the freshest frequency of radio conversation in the nation. What's going on?
Yeah, man, we had to play two joints for my man, who's our guest on the line tonight, man. This guy here, hails from Baton Rouge. And we were trying to get him on for July, but, you know, we had time issues and constraints. But here he is here with us tonight, man. And, you know, I want to send a big shout-out to everybody that's listening out there in the South, everybody listening out there that tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio and checked out the interview that we did last night with AK from Do or Die. And we got a lot coming, man, so... We definitely got a good bill with him tonight, man. And hail from Baton Rouge here to talk about his new project, what he got going on, to tell his story. What's all welcome, Jay the Goat, man. What's good, man?
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
What's going on,
man? Great to have you
with
us. What's
happening, brother?
Nothing much, man. I'm happy y'all hear me, bro. I'm happy to have y'all, too. My name is Jay the Goat.
Man, definitely, man.
Yeah, I mean, once again, Louisiana. I think somewhere between Louisiana and California, we, like, get the most guests. And we love it because y'all really, really show us love from there.
Yeah, definitely. Also, we want to send a shout-out to Sean Trey for making this happen, one of the hardest-working women
Absolutely.
In the business. We need you to come back. We need you to come back
Absolutely.
Now. You can't stay retired for too long. We need you because we got talented brothers like this on the line. The culture needs you, Sean Trey, if you're listening. So you need to get out of their retirement chair.
Yeah.
Right. Team needs to get, yeah.
Yeah, tell her I said that, bro.
I'm sure going to tell her.
Definitely, man. I guess it's right about that time. We'll get into it. Jay the Goat, tell us a little bit about yourself, man, in terms of how you've done it, you know, how you started and what you're doing.
What's up, man? I'm Jay the Goat. I started rapping probably when I was about 12 or 13. You know, I wasn't taking it serious then, but I always had a, like, I was writing music, had a passion for music. I hear beats, I can freestyle, you know. And I did, like, as a kid, my mom used to say, like, I can always harmonize the song before I even knew how to talk. Like, I'd be riding in the car harmonizing the song. So I always had a passion for music, you know, and I started writing this stuff when I was about 12, 13. And my main focus was kind of on basketball then. But as I got older, you know, I chose to go ahead and take this serious. Like, I've been back serious doing this for probably about a year now. You know, I just dropped a mixtape on all platforms called Survivor. I got another mixtape about to drop sometime between this month and next month called For Everlasting Pain. It's going to be probably about 12 tracks on there. And I've been doing a lot of showcases, you know, doing a lot of promotion, a lot of my YouTube channel going up. You can reach me on YouTube at Money Gang of That. I got videos on there. My mixtape also on there. And, you know, I got a lot more work coming. I got another video that's probably going to drop about another 2 or 3 weeks. And y'all just be on the lookout for me. I'm there. I'm coming.
Dope, man. I mean, like you said, you know, being from Baton Rouge, you know, also, too, in Louisiana in general, you got a lot of sports history because you said you used to ball. I mean, of course, you know, shout out to, you know, Marshall Faulk, you know, NFL Hall of Famer, Randy Livingston, Ronnie Henderson, you know, Leonard Fournette, of course, from Louisiana as well. You know, y'all got a rich sports history there, man. Shout out to LSU, La Tech, you know, everybody down there, man. And, I mean, of course, you know, come from Baton Rouge, you know, two guys out there, I think you heard of them, you know, a guy by the name of Bootsy and, of course, NBA Youngboy as well.
That's what I like about what's going on with Baton Rouge is that they also have the new generation also holding it down as well, and they mingling with the elderslin as well. Right, it's good to see Bootsy, and you know, to a degree, Webby, they relevant in the times of the new generation. So it's good that the youth is getting their time to shine as well. And, you know, they got to be more of a unity front. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
When you're growing up out there in terms of watching a lot of those guys make their come up in terms of their movement, what was it like in terms of how did that inspire you and what did you learn from the business aspects of the hustle, the networking, you know, in terms of how, and ultimately song construction is how you eventually got your music together when you really knew this is what you wanted to do.
Oh, well, how I figured that out, I kind of had to figure it out on my own, you know, and when I finally decided to take myself serious, I kind of talked to my T-Shawn Trey because I knew she was kind of on the music side of it. So I didn't know a lot of the legal activities that went on with it, but now that I do know, like, I'm taking my precautions. I know a couple producers who making my beats and who do my studio stuff, and I get paperwork on my beats, so I don't have to go through that now. But back then, I didn't know that. So it's a lot of stuff that I'm still learning.
What's it been like in terms of the buzz you've been able to garner, in terms of the support you've brought along the way, in terms of people really getting to know you, interacting with you, and supporting you?
Say that again.
I said, what has it been like for you over the time in terms of really, you know, cultivating your support base and really interacting with your fans and doing showcases and such? What is it like to, you know, really get out in different spots and, like, perform and really get to, you know, touch? Yeah, go ahead.
It's good, man. Like, I go to different places. I always get feedback. I get the crowd. I get the crowd attention. They ask me for my Instagram and when I got other stuff dropping and what my mixtape is and stuff like that. And, you know, I did a lot of collaboration with other artists, you know, from doing showcases, and they seeing my work on YouTube and Instagram. So, it's going good for me. That part going good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially with the master plan video. That's very dope, man. Like, what made you come up with that concept for that song?
Like, I know that's something I'm going through. That's something everybody in the world really going through. Don't nobody, I know for a fact, I can speak for me. I don't want to work for nobody for the rest of my life. I want to be my own boss. You know, so you got, in order to do that, you got to come up with a master plan. You got to sit down and meditate. You got to think about what you want to do, how you, what kind of action you're going to take toward what you want to do.
Definitely. And what's it been like interacting with other artists along the way, too, seeing you all are pretty much, you know, kind of on that same circuit in terms of, you know, what they call the barnstorming and doing those venues and everybody, you know, trying to get their name out there?
Going there, I'm coming up with all the others. Like, it ain't been no bad thing. Like, everybody, we all willing to collab and work, and you know, we got a lot of stuff coming in the making. Like, I got this guy that reached out. His name Rosewood BR. He do like a lot of the showcases down here, and the guy who shoot my videos, him and Parr, they tight. So they kind of connected me in with the guy who do the showcases, and now he booking me for different shows, and I got my own showcase sometime at the end of this month, based off of that relationship that I built with them. So it's like I said, it's going good for me. I'm ready. I'm willing to work with whoever. I ain't picky, you know what I'm saying? Like, I rap real, like real. If I could pick up on your vibe, and you got a good vibe, and you real, I can work with you. You know, no matter what you got going on life wise, like you show me a good vibe, and I'm willing to work with you, man or woman. You know.
Mhm.
Yeah, they gotta have the type of vibe to pretty much get a collab over, because that's what makes collaboration special. Because they gotta not only vibe with you on the mic, they gotta vibe with you personality wise. Because
right.
You can't get that personal connection with that person. The vibe is going to be off. They just going to call you some halfway bullshit and just send it off for the check. The vibe got to be right.
Right. Exactly.
Definitely. So in terms of growing up for you, just seeing, you know, growing up in Baton Rouge, man, because we know Louisiana is definitely a unique state, you know, with such a rich history. What was it like to just grow up and just, you know, see things in terms of how it influenced you to where you're at now?
Growing up in Baton Rouge, it's like you basically it's like crabs in the bucket. I ain't gonna lie to you, but you gotta stay out the way. Like, you know, you can see a lot of stuff everywhere. Like, you might see some good things, you might see some bad things, but it's really about what you make out of it. You know, like, you gotta make the best out of every situation. But it was some good times, you know. They used to have like a lot of senior parties we was younger. Nowadays they don't have that down here, because I kind of like our generation kind of messed that up. But so, you know, it was growing up down here, it was kind of fun. Like, you know, I like to see other parts of the world too, but Baton Rouge, I love my hometown. I love my state.
Yeah, not to mention y'all had a trademark sound. That's what y'all made it dope,
yeah,
is that
definitely.
Y'all also had a trademark sound, and y'all also had your own language to where
right.
Anybody that was representing y'all that came out, it made us feel like, damn, we getting that Louisiana experience. And that's what makes y'all stand out when it came
right.
to the regional effect. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. Absolutely. Now, you said growing up playing ball, like, what'd you do? Play football, basketball? What was your sport?
I played basketball for 12 years.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you know, when you look at a lot of the players that come out of there, man, I mean, you know, guys like Chris Jackson, now known as Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf, you know, of course, going back to old days, you know, Dale Brown at LSU, of course, you know, the big fundamental, the big Aristotle, rather. You know, Dr. Shaquille O'Neal played there as well, man.
Right.
I mean, Ben Simmons, you know, in terms of playing ball, man, I mean, what did you learn in terms of how did you bring that level of competition in terms of what you learned on the court in terms of the music game, in terms of anticipation, in terms of strategy, And most of all, when you work with somebody, teamwork.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work. You go hard for what you want and anything you do. That's with music and basketball. On the court, as a team, we're going to win. You know, even with music, you're going to win. As long as you got a good mindset and you know what you're trying to do, the object of the game is to win and to show people what you made of,
Definitely. Now, and especially with you being an athlete, I know obviously with the NCAA, with the NIL, what they passed, you're very close to that as well in terms of being involved in amateur sports. What are your feelings about now the college players getting able to be paid off their image and likeness and beginning to really profit off of their talents, even at an amateur level?
I mean, that's a good thing. Because that's going to make them go harder from when they go to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to make them go even harder than they already going, because they got something to prove.
Definitely. And I think
that's a good build on that, T-Mac, because it's gone with the ways of, you know, that whole pay your dues shit. It's like now you have an ulterior motive. Now you're getting compensated. You finally getting taken care of. Cause man, these universities, they used to pimp the hell out of these players.
Right.
And we're all from that era growing up where we saw a lot of it in terms of how much these schools were making off of it. I mean, we go back to days when Nike, you know, they still do, you know, making the college jerseys and everything. And when you look at it in terms of it, for a lot of those players, you figure roughly the NFL has 1,696 players on an active roster. That's in terms of the 53-man each roster. And I think on a practice squad, you have maybe 14 guys on a practice squad. Maybe if I got those figures right. You figure between 115 Division I colleges in terms of guys graduating, roughly about maybe 4,000 to 5,000 a year graduate across
right.
all those different schools, and less than 2% make it to the pros. You figure the NBA, there's 15 guys on a roster, so you figure between 29 teams, that averages roughly out to maybe 300-400 players all together to make an active roster in NBA, which is even lower. Understanding those numbers, Jay, when you see how a lot of these rappers come into the game, we see a lot of athletes, you know, college athletes come into the game. How important is it for them to understand about having a backup plan, to have other outlets, to have other endeavors in case one doesn't work?
That's serious. It's serious to have a backup plan because you don't ever know what may happen during your journey. Like, you never know if you're going to make it all the way with the journey that you chose. So you got to have an ultimatum or something in the backup. So just in case you do fail with this, then you got a backup plan, you know. That's very important.
In terms of when you played ball coming up, who were some of your idols and who did you model your game after? What position did you play? What high school did you represent?
I played with Skylinville. And I played power forward. And I played center. And I played sometimes, like when I was younger, I played point guard too.
Mhm.
Yeah, yeah, like once I got to high school, I started playing power forward and center. And a lot of I always looked up to Kobe Bryant. I looked up to Allen Iverson. I looked up to Shaq too. You know, I looked up to a lot of them back then. Michael Jordan. That was my idol.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you look at those guys that you mentioned, you look at AI. Hey, shout out to Hampton, Virginia, Hampton Newport News, you know, Hampton Roads in general, my hometown, 757, two up, two down, stand up. You know, Allen was over at Bethel High School, and, I mean, the dude was of legendary proportions on the football and basketball field. Of course, you know, by the grace of God, got out of his legal trouble, went to Georgetown, destroyed it for 2 years. Rest in peace to the late, great Big John Thompson, you know, who coached him. And Iverson coming into the league really revolutionized the game from a style and from just the way he plays. You know, he really showed that it's okay to be a child of hip-hop culture, to represent it and, you know, still go hard in the game, you know, which he did. You know, he really, really opened up that door for individuality to really show I'm going to be me no matter what you think.
Right.
When we look at the late, great, you know, when we look at the late, great Kobe Bryant, Kobe's the closest thing to Michael in terms of style that we're ever going to see in terms of, you know, how Michael played. Kobe is Michael 2.0. You know, everything
right.
Michael did, Kobe studied and learned.
Right.
And emulated, you know, from every aspect. And the stuff has been said about Kobe in terms of certain elements, you know, and he had a drive, and sometimes that drive did complicate matters, but nobody can say that that boy didn't go out every night and he gave it his all. You know, when you look at Shaq, you know, coming out of LSU, I mean, shout out to Dell Brown. You know,
right.
Shaq was a behemoth. You know, I mean, that guy was just, I mean, back going back to the early 90s before he got in the league in 92, I mean, Shaq was just another level of dominance. And I mean, this was just on a college. I'm like, he got to the pros and he just continued it. And, you know,
dominant.
I mean,
dominant.
I mean, but the guys, you know, people looked at him as just being a dunker, but I'm like, Shaq, you know, he used his power, which he had, but Shaq's basketball IQ was pretty high in terms of understanding, you know, how to pick,
right.
You know, how to post up, how to make the pass he needed to make. He could run the floor. If anybody wants to go on YouTube and look at those old, look at that, find that clip of him actually, you know, running the ball, you know, bringing it up like a point guard. Like, you know, to see all of, you know, to see the sports culture change in terms of how it's played, you know, we're all, you know, students of it. How do you see the game change now from NBA and NFL to what it was with you watching it growing up?
Watching it growing up, it was like they were more into it. Like nowadays, they just, I mean, they play. Certain people play. But, you know, back then, I feel like they was more into it. They had more, what I'm trying to say here. They had more strategy. Like they was most, you know, toward the game than they are now.
What do you think has changed that?
I guess everybody's taking their own paths to how they want to play. Like, but back then they had more of like they went by more play, and to me, that's my opinion on it. They went more by the book with the game. But nowadays they just all over with it. You know, they play good, but as far as they, you know, routines, I don't feel like they got like a certain routine they go through with the game. No, they just get out there and play ball.
Do you think they're pretty much, especially with the marketing opportunities with social media, that's changed it up too?
Yeah, the social media too. Back then they didn't have internet on phones and stuff like that. They just, you know, they went more by the book. Now they got phones, they got social media, so they can see how other people do stuff. They want to, you know.
They very more so. It was more like an animal instinct back then versus now.
Right.
It was like at that time, if you got dunked on, he wasn't gonna help you up. You had to get your ass up.
Right.
Nowadays, right. You can dunk on somebody and he gonna pick that man up, be like, hey, let's get this photo real quick. It was right. Like that back then.
Right. They would know.
Like when Ewing, when Pippen dunked on Ewing, Ewing had to eat that, man. He had to eat that for.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, look, yeah. That 94 playoffs was something special. I mean, that's
it was
like,
fights every day.
Man, I mean, you look at playoff dunks, and that is like, well, you look at game in-game dunks, and you look at playoff dunks. Because playoff, when you're looking at playoff dunks, that's like a whole different level because you're all playing for the championship. So those games are a little bit more meaningful. But, I mean,
right.
and that pantheon of playoff dunks, oh, my God. I mean, they call that the nut sack dunk. They dunked over him and just stood over him.
I ain't never seen a nigga be friendly after getting dunked on, though. That's what kind of threw me off in today's era. Like, they don't even pick it up. Like, if I get dunked on in front of the world, man, you'd be wanting to fight. It was bad enough on the blacktop. Because you was going to get clowned for Lisa, like, a whole month till you play that team again or when you was in school and you play that team again. But imagine in front of national TV, you get plastered. You can't just
right.
Shake that off.
Right.
You can't just shake that off. Or better yet, or when you get your shit blocked, you just can't shake that off.
Shit, though, man. No, you can't.
And these niggas sitting there, they get blocked. Then they'll post it on IG later on, like, "Hey man, good block." And I'm like, "What?
Yeah, good block. You blocked my shit."
Man, But it's different now, too, y'all, because when you look at a lot of these, you know, the kids, and we say that respectfully because they're youngins, you know, when you look at a lot of the kids coming into the league today, they came up together playing AAU, you know, all of that. So a lot of the,
right.
You know, when we look at how that has changed in terms of the traveling teams, you know, the leagues, recreation leagues, all that. It's a lot more money involved. You have a lot more sponsorships than what you had 30, 40 years ago. A lot of these kids come up playing together, you know, all the way through high school, you know, middle school, you know, recreation traveling leagues, you know, the ACB, you know, the Adidas camp, Nike camp. So they've already, a lot of them have developed a bit of a friendship with each other where there's still competitive drive, but it's not necessarily that dislike. It's wild to see now because when you're looking at how a lot of these colleges are recruiting, they're recruiting a lot of these kids in terms of those teams and bringing a lot of these dudes from the same teams on together, you know, for them to give you. So it's the familiarity brings more camaraderie to certain levels. Like you said, when you look at when we think about the rivalries of the 80s and 90s, like with the Bulls and the Pistons, you know, the Knicks and the Heat that will come later, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics, even going back some years, not too far back with the Heat and the, the Heat and Celtics, you know, I mean, it was totally different because you still had certain players. Now we're seeing, you know, you have still more the older guard. You know, a lot of those guys are retired or are about to retire. So now you're having a whole new set of young talent coming in to where, you know, their priorities are different. You know, for a lot of them, you know, they're looking at endorsement opportunities in terms of social media, you know, getting their name out there, you know, and other aspects. Do they want to play? Absolutely, because that's what gets them paid. But they're looking at the opportunities outside of basketball that could get them paid in other ways as well.
Right.
Now going back to the music for a minute, man. You getting back into music and you finding your inspirations into rapping. Like, who were some of your musical influences to make it be like, yo, I'm gonna study these guys and I'm gonna try my knack at this?
Ain't a lot. I grew up listening to my mom and them. They played a lot of the older rappers like A-Ball and MJG, UGK, Ruthless Juvenile. I know about a lot of the older music, but who really inspired me was Boosie. Like Boosie, I love Boosie. Like Boosie really was turning my light on. He been having me want to rap. Like I used to listen to him and CeeLo, like, and Webby. You know, Webby, them three. And I used to listen to the High Bars a lot too.
And how did that really? How did that help you really cultivate your writing in terms of their influence, and then you really putting pen to paper in terms of cadence, bar structure, delivery, all that?
To be honest, I learned a lot of that on my own. Like I used to, when I first started writing, I would just write big old paragraphs. It looked like a sheet of big old essay on the paper. But now, like, I write bar for bar. I write my hook at first, then I do my bars. I count my bars to know how long, how many bars I need for a song. Like, I learned a lot of that on my own. I ain't have nobody over me to show me how to do that. I just, over years and time of me writing, going to the studio and playing beats at home in the room, I just learned how to count bars, how many verses I got on this beat. How long each verse is on the beat, I learned a lot of that on my own.
Definitely. Who you see in the game right now that you're really a fan of?
Right now I listen to Youngboy. I listen to ESTG. I still bump Booster every now and then, but the new Booster, kind of, to me, he's not the same Booster from back then. You know, his music back then was more based on the struggle and the stuff that go on day to day in Baton Rouge. Now it's kind of industry, so it's like sometimes he come back out with stuff that I can relate to, you know, but as far as my people who I bump, like, day to day, I listen to, like I say, Youngboy, ESTG, the Migos. I listen to Kevin Gates every now and then too. Meek Mill. People like that. That's who I listen to now. That's who kind of got my eyes right now in the music game. Besides myself, because I bump my music all day long.
You got to be a fan of yourself.
Most definitely.
Got to be a fan of yourself first and foremost. If you ain't a fan of yourself, then who else going to believe? Like, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll listen to my shit first. I ain't listen to these other videos, man. I'm going to listen to my stuff first.
Right.
Straight up. That's how you know that you believe in your craftsmanship. Because a lot of people don't believe in their craftsmanship. It's like, man, you got to listen to yourself and observe yourself first. Because sometimes you can listen to yourself and find ways of improvement. Like, you can be like, okay, time this go around, I can improve on this line, or, you know, I can execute it with this bar here, or pick this beat here. Sometimes that's the best critic is yourself.
Right. Exactly. That's why I do listen to my music. Like, I do, because, like, my music sounds good. Other people, my music sounds good, but it's better to keep going over your music so you can really master your sound. Like, you know, like, that's the only way I feel you're going to get better. If you really into your music and you want to go somewhere with, you got to hear yourself and hear how you sound to see what you can fix and what need to be done right and what you did wrong. You know, that's what you got to do, for my ass.
Oh, definitely. Who would you like to work with in terms of as you continue your career?
I feel like, I work with a couple of artists, I do something with Youngboy, I do something with Boosie too, just because, you know, that's who inspired me, you know, and like a couple other artists I work with. I do some with ESTG. I do some with Meek Mill.
I do something with anybody, really, who in the game. I feel like I can work with anybody, even female rappers and singers. I don't just rap how everybody else rap. I can rap on anything. Like, if I get a, like Beyonce, if she was to sing a hook, I can come up with something to the hook that she made. Because I write, but I freestyle too. Like, sometimes I go to the studio, I don't even bring a, I don't have a net prepared. I just go in there and hear a beat, and I just go in and I freestyle.
Gotcha.
Sometimes that's the best way of getting that's the best way of finding out your song concept. Sometimes this is a really weird technique, guys. Some people just freestyle a bunch of bullshit, and then next thing you know, you got three or four songs coming just off that alone.
Right.
So people's writing techniques are very surprising. And, you know, and building off of that, like, what do you really need when you go in the studio? Like, what it needs to be in place for you to create a dope song?
Oh, the vibe got to be right. The beat got to sound right. If I'm in a good mood or a bad mood, I'm still going to make a good song because, like, I got songs like that from like pain songs. I got songs when I'm happy. Like, I got songs for all of it. It just depends on what mood I'm in. Whatever mood I'm in, I go to the studio, I'm gonna make a song about whatever mood I'm in or how I'm feeling. And I feel like that's when it come out the best, when it's you, when it's what you going through, what you want, what you see, what you think. You know, like, because what you think, other people think like that too. They feel like that too. They see it that way too. You know? So it's going to go regardless. It's just how you deliver
it. Yeah, and also mainly making the music relatable. Do you feel that a lot of the people, like, you know, in that up-and-coming class or struggling class, you didn't even identify with your music?
Say that one more time.
I was saying the people, you know, that's, you know, going through it right now, like going through the struggle. It could be middle class or lower class. You think they can identify, relate to your music?
Most definitely. I got a song called Forever We Gonna Ball. And that's basically a pain song. I don't know if you listen to it or not, but it's basically saying you can have it and you lose it. No matter what, forever you're going to ball, which means forever you're going to be straight. As long as you keep that mindset, you're going to keep going on. You know, like, and then I ran about my pain and what I went through to make me feel how I felt, you know, to make me say no matter what situation I'm in, I'm forever going to ball. I'm forever going to be straight, forever going to be happy. You know, you gotta keep yourself motivated. Can't make yourself miserable, but according to your situation, what you're going through at the moment, because it's only momentarily.
That's real, man. When you look at the music game today, how do you feel like it's changed in terms of how artists compose and how they, you know, market?
I mean, in the music game today, I feel like it's nice. They got artists out here who can rap for real. Like, most artists, they say they rap about the same things, like killing, selling drugs, this and that, but you not touching other parts of the world or what's going on. Like, that's only relatable to certain people. You got to make stuff, I feel like you got to make stuff everybody can relate to, you know? If they hear your music, they hear this song, they be like, yeah, I like this song. They hear this song, I like this song too. Oh, this song for what I'm going through right now. That's crazy. His song just touched me just now. Because I'm going through this right now. It's his song playing. Like, you got to have stuff like that instead of just, I'm killing him. I'm selling it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You know, that's how I feel about it. That's why I make different songs for all of it. Like, whatever you're going through, whatever you want to do. Now, I do have some gangster songs too. But I can also make other relatable songs, like songs that anybody can relate to.
Definitely.
And that just shows you how you can just tap into different audiences, because you know, hip hop, it turned, I think, 50 years old yesterday. It's still a young culture.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know.
It's still a young culture, and for you to, with your music, it's still gravitating to give the youth hope, just like even with the Master Plan joint that we played. That gives people
right.
new form of knowledge, new form of understanding. There's different layers to rapping and just rapping the same basic stuff. And it also shows that
right.
Bad Ruage got some spitters.
Right.
Right, that's you got to separate yourself. I feel like with Master Plan, like I say, I think that's something everybody can relate to. Cause I know in a day where everybody don't want to work for nobody for the rest of their life, they gotta want something. They gotta want more. They gotta want to see more and leave something for their kids and their kids' kids. You know, have generational wealth. I know that's what I want for mine. I got daughters, so I want to make sure. And I'm the first man they gonna love, so I want to make sure the things that I do, at least if something happened to me today or tomorrow, I got something to have for them. You know, so that's
absolutely. And when you think about people in terms of, like you said, the Master Plan in terms of entrepreneurship, what do people have to understand about getting out there doing it for themselves and working? Because everybody talks about how they want to be an entrepreneur, how they want to be self, you know, sufficient. But what do people have to understand about the discipline and the drive for it?
I mean, in the job field, I mean, you got to play the cards how they go. Like, I ain't going to say you got to, but, I mean, in the job field, you got to see, it's about, you got a boss. You got somebody telling you what you got to do, how you got to move, what time you come in, what time you leave. When really, you can make this amount of money or more if you sit on and you just think about something you really, really want to do that your heart telling you that you really want to do. You could do this on your own, but you gotta think about what you want to do, what you're not going to get tired of, what you're not going to quit on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's something I think for people that's really major, you know, figure out, you know, where your motivation is and understanding that it's not a race to the finish, just a marathon of endurance to finish. You know, and especially when you're going to make music your full-time hustle, I think people really have to understand that this is something that you have to have, you know, you got to have a method. You got to put in the hard work. You really have to understand what you're trying to accomplish more than anything else.
Right.
First time you got into the studio, when you started putting your music down, what was it like in terms of being around the equipment, in terms of learning, you know, the process of recording and the overall aspect of creating? What was that like?
When I first got in the studio, it was like, what's this? Like, I knew what the microphone do, I knew what the headphones were for, but me seeing somebody to really go down into your music and, like, tell you this what you got to redo, or let me cut this out and, you know, do this and do that, and let me turn your vocals up, turn your vocals down. See, because when I first started rapping, my mom bought me, like, they had a game, I don't know if you remember, it came out on the PS2. It was a Def Jam game where, like, they let you rap. It's called On the Mic. And my cousins, like, we used to sit up and play this game all night. And we ended up one night, we just plugged up. I had a computer in my room. So we plugged up. The game came with a microphone with, like, a USB port connect on the end. So we plugged it into the computer. And we used sound recorder on the computer and got beats off YouTube, let it play, and we recorded ourselves. And that's how we first started recording music. Like, so once I got to the studio and I got in the booth and I started seeing how he get on there and go to my vocals and he do different things with my vocals, it was like, man, it's crazy. Like, you know, I didn't know you could even do this. Like,
You know, it was amazing at first, but then that just made me want to go more. Like, I'm going now, I'm going every other week, every other day.
That's what it is, man.
And yeah, I was asking this too. I was asking this though: is do you feel that there's still a unity there needs to be more unity within Baton Rouge, and do you see that getting better in comparison to how you've seen it coming up?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
My bad. Yeah, I was asking you, like, because you said earlier, you know, you was coming up, you saying that the crabs in the barrel mentality was very prominent in war, in Baton Rouge, and now we're in a different part of the game. Do you still see more unified now, or do you still see it being in the same position?
I still see it being in the same way, because now it's like, they don't want, like, they don't want to see you on top of the next person. Once they see you doing too good, that's when the hate comes. That's when the lies start. That's when they try to tag you down. That's when somebody's telling you you ain't this or you ain't doing this or trying to down you when really you know you, what you're doing is making you go up. Like, it's still that way now, you know. And that's why a lot of rappers who down here who make it, who getting a little fan base or they get a little money, they try to get away from Baton Rouge because they know it's really a crab in the bucket. Like, they don't want to see you win. They don't want to see you make it from out of here. Like, you know?
That's real. When I was, this was a few years ago when Bootsy was on DJ Vlad, and he was talking about how, you know, Bootsy was like, you know, he was successful, but the hometown, he was like, he was literally fearing for his life, you know, because not everybody had what he had. And he was like, you know, that's why he moved to Atlanta. He's like, you know, everybody, you know, when you become, like you said, you know, Jay, a big name, I will tell anybody, no matter what genre of music you are, no matter what color you are, you know, no matter who you are, you don't have to apologize for being successful. If you worked hard for it and you achieved something great, you don't have to apologize for that. But the sad part is, tragically, is that there are going to be people who, when you become successful, they become jealous because they see where you succeeded where they failed. And that can bring a lot of enmity, you know, in terms of people. You know, the envy and the enmity. You know, people really, really will internalize that hatred, and it will manifest itself in something very, very, very dangerous when they've had time to really stew in it. And people say, well, ain't nobody going to run me out of my hometown. Well, I'm like, and I tell those individuals, I'm like, don't think about somebody running you out of your hometown. Think about the fact that there's clear and present danger. And you could get killed.
There's a lot of problems down here, too. Like, they've... Mm-hmm. Down here, I'm gonna say we feel like we got a point to prove. Like, for some reason, ain't nobody gonna run me out of here. I'm gonna stay here. Ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing. Well, really, you not knowing the stuff you doing, you making yourself a target now. You a target because now you up, like you doing everything that somebody else wanted to do that they ain't able to do. So now you a target. But I don't know. That's crazy. Cause me, I'm going to be honest. I get right, I'm gone. I'm gone. I promise.
Yeah, the only time I'm coming to the hood is I'm FaceTiming. We FaceTiming.
Yeah,
I ain't coming back to the block no more.
I'm going to come back to the hood, but I'm going to just come back. I might do like some giveaway, give back stuff, you know, like for Thanksgiving and Christmas, get the kids bikes and stuff like that. But other than that,
oh yeah,
I'm out of here.
All that drinking St. Ives and St. Blocks. Nah, kid.
No.
Them days is done, man.
Most definitely.
I'm a little more established, man. Y'all ain't taking the wheels of my car if I go inside kicking.
Oh, no. Most definitely not.
to, man. I'm like, I see, I mean, I'm like, yo. Like, I seen the way, they seen the way they do every king. Every king gets the bad treatment in the movie. What makes me think y'all ain't going to turn on me because y'all see me as a lick? Uh-uh. Y'all getting the postcard.
Yeah, when we see a lot of times, too, and we got to be real about it, because when you look at a lot of rappers who do get killed or get caught up, at least 70 to 85% of the time, it's in their own hometown. You know, and when you see those situations happen, people wonder, for those that really don't know the culture of how it goes down in the street, you know, they'll ask why. And I tell them, because when you're dealing from being in a certain place of familiarity, everybody knows you and they know your movements. If they know you got money, then they know where you're going to be.
Exactly.
If, you know, they know where you shop. They know what club you're going to be at. Hell, worst case scenario, they know where you live and they'll run up on you. You know, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. And I will tell anybody, protect yourself at all costs once it comes to that. Once you up like that and you have a lot to lose, you know, train yourself in the ways of the firearm. Be ready, because not because you want to kill somebody, but because you have to be ready to protect yourself and possibly kill somebody if that's what it comes to. Because when you're dealing with wolves out there, the reality is this, and we're just speaking facts on this show, the reality is with wolves and predators in general, the block, their whole thing is they're going to get what they can get at any cost. If they're willing to just knock over somebody regular who they see got something nice on or driving something nice, imagine what it'll be to somebody who they know got an abundance of it. You know, not to sit on the soapbox and be preaching, but this is why I would tell artists, you know, if you, you know, it's not, I know it's a certain image you maintain, but it's not always a good idea to walk around with a whole bunch of money on you. Don't rock your jewels unless it's something specific you're going to in terms of a party or a performance or what have you. And I don't say that to be a hater. I'm saying it because if you're just randomly around, you don't know who's watching. And you don't know, I mean, look, we've seen some crazy motherfuckers out there. And we've seen people get robbed. You know, dude, just like a gang of niggas will run up on someone and just try to and just take it off of them. And there are times where you're able to kind of have your security to deter it, and sometimes, you know, some dudes they just not gonna care.
Right.
We just want to put that out there just for because we want to see everybody win. Most importantly, more than winning in your career, we want to be able to see you survive in your career. That is the most important thing. Jay, when you look at the situations going on right now with a lot of rappers who are involving themselves in beefs that they should not, saying things on wax without provocation, saying things on the internet without provocation, you understand how real it is about it. We got nothing but respect for your hometown. As we say on the show, we have a joke, but we're so serious when we say it. The South beats different.
Right.
We know what it's like when shit really jumps off. From a street level, from a music level, from a human being level, what are your opinions on artists getting out there talking crazy and biting that drama and some ultimately meeting that bad end because of it?
This is my thing. Like, if this situation ain't got nothing to do with you, why make yourself a part of it? Because at the end of the day, what's going to be your outcome of it? Only thing going to end up happening is you're going to kill somebody or somebody's going to kill you. And when you ain't even have none of this to do, because me, I ain't in nobody else's mix. I'm going to stay out the way. All I'm trying to do is make money because I got people to take care of. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of people on my back, so I can't involve myself in something that ain't got nothing to do with me because
I'm gonna say this. Most of the guys and dudes who out here who in beef, it ain't got nothing to do with them. They just picking a side. You know what I'm saying? They, I won't be on this side. I'm gonna be on this side. When really, this man, really, these people don't even care about you like that. You just trying to be on somebody's side. You want to be relevant. And now, you might end up dead. You might not even have life insurance. Mama be selling fish place to bury you, but you just want to be part of something. You know, not knowing what's really going on. No, that's
especially
that ain't the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say too, man. Especially with the way beef is in the South, we talk about this on many, many, many shows. Shit is really different, man. I want to let people know, those who are listening, like when Cash beef from the South, it's not your straight up lyrical acrobats. Like it has a high chance. A high participation of really spilling out to some because, see, these guys, they wear images on their sleeve. The images is basically the profit. See, they don't really separate the image from the rapper. They make their money off the rapper and the image. See, in New York, it's like, oh, we just battle rapping, or we could just be characters and rap. You attack to make a diss record on the character of somebody in the South, it's like, oh, you affected my money. So now don't.
Right.
So that's why, in a way, you don't really have, that's why also you really don't really have a lot of back and forth in the South for that matter. Like, not just, really, especially Baton Rouge, because we know there's a different type of gangster down there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And it's crazy. And I just, I don't know. I mean, I love my city. I love Louisiana too, you know, as a whole. I mean, I just feel like we can all come together, you know, and make a lot more money and make a lot more stuff go on. We all came together, but I guess that's too much like right, you know, because other states, they coming together. That's why they on top, you know. Like, down here, it's like I say, crabs in the bucket. Don't nobody want to see this person on top of this person. They don't want this, the person to have more rank than they got. Instead of all just working together as a whole, and we just blow up, everybody get right, you know. I'm willing to work with whoever, you know. I ain't picking no signs on nothing, and I ain't got nothing to do with none of it. You know, I'm just trying to get my music heard, make history, make money, you know, and have fun while I'm doing it. You know, make sure my daughter's straight, my mom and them straight. That's my reason for this, for doing what I'm doing. You know, but I got something to do it for. I ain't doing it just to do it.
And that's the most important thing, man, I think, because you really understand what you're trying to accomplish and what your vision is for the music. In terms of music, what other interests do you have in terms of acting, writing, any of that, or what? I mean, tell us, please.
I mean, I do want to like make movies and stuff like that too. Like, I want to make a movie about my life, like the way I grew up, the things I went through. You know, to play me well and shape me to be the man I am now. You know, I want to make a move about that. Now, once I do, my music do go up some more, and I do get, you know, more money to put behind it and all that, I am going to make a move about it. I am. You know. Because I feel like that's interesting to what the things I went through, you know, to be where I'm at now, make me the man that I am now.
So we think we should get that, man. We should get that Spike Lee to do it. We need somebody that can cover this story.
Right. That's probably Spike Lee or somebody like that.
Oh, you know, if we want to go extra with the scenes and the sceneries, we need to get Michael Bay for this shit because, you know, he can come through with the crazy effects and shootout scenes and all that stuff. That'd be some fly shit.
Right, right.
Like we get that Transformers money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
So Michael Bay, his special effects is crazy. Like, he got no big budget, high concept. Like, you know, we probably do the 8 Mile deal, make it be like 40%. Your life, let it be fictional, let the people guess.
Right. Right. So that's my plan. Like, once I, my music go up some more, and I really, like, because they tuning in now. Like, they starting to tune in to see what's going on with me. So once I finally go and get my deal or whatever I'm going to do, then I'm going to go and start trying to do, like, movies and, you know, invest in other businesses and stuff like that. You know, kind of branch off into all kind of things. That's the only way you're going to prosper. You know, like you say, you have backup plans, have other stuff you getting into.
Absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we probably about to, probably got to wrap it up in a couple of minutes, man. But is there anything in particular, like, you know, in terms of shout outs or...
Most definitely,
people,
yeah.
Where they can find your music.
Yeah, shout out to my video man. Thank you, Dennis. Shout out to my auntie, Shaw Trey, for putting this together for me to finally do this with King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio. You can find my music on YouTube. Type in Jay the Goat, or you can type in Money Gang or Die. Go on, my music on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's like 4 or 5 more other streaming apps my music on too. You can search me up on it. Tidal, yeah, it's on Tidal too. My mixtape Survival, it's on there. And like I said, in a couple more weeks, y'all see Forever Lasting Pain on all platforms. Then another video on YouTube in probably another 2 or 3 weeks too. So y'all just be on the lookout. I ain't stopping. I'm going to keep going and keep going.
Man, look, Jay, this has been a pleasure with you being with us. You're welcome back anytime. God bless. And, you know, and I mean, and much, you know, wishes for the best success in terms of your endeavors, and just keep doing what you do, man.
Most definitely, man. Appreciate this opportunity. Nice meeting you, too. You know, and hopefully we work again, talk again. I enjoyed it.
Definitely, man. If you got a part two, anything you want to chime about, man, just let me know, man. I hit Sean Trey on the line, too, tell her that we had a great interview.
Well, it's definitely. She on here now?
No. I'm gonna hit her this weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, yeah. And I'm going to tell her, too.
Most definitely, man. We appreciate you joining us, man, for episode 514, which is on the books. Catch us next week. We're going to have some more lined up, man, more surprises, more in tune. So thank everybody once again for tuning in, and y'all have a blessed night.
All right.
Yeah. Peace. One.